I've been invited here to speak on the Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, the Song of God. We have already studied, since I started this monthly class, we have completed summary studies of 17 chapters of Bhagavad Gita. So we begin tonight with a study of chapter 18. The topic I want to speak about is the first section, because chapter 18 is a summary or a resummarization of the entire Bhagavad Gita, since actually Bhagavad Gita is completed within 17 chapters. As in chapter 2, the contents of the Gita was given by Krishna. Chapter 18 is, in the similar vein, a summary study. The first topic which Arjuna brings up, because Bhagavad Gita proceeds by the process of questions and answers. The Bhagavad Gita began at the point where Arjuna said to Krishna, Shishyastheham shadimang tvam prapanam. Now I am a soul surrendered unto you. You kindly instruct me. It is at that point that Krishna then begins to explain Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna asking questions, and Krishna explaining. Now in this chapter 18, Arjuna uvacha sanyasyasya mahabaho tatvam icchami veditum tyagasya cha rishikesha pritak keshi nishudana. Arjuna said, O mighty armed one, I wish to understand the purpose of renunciation, tyaga, and of the renounced order of life, sannyas, O killer of the Keshi demon, O master of the senses. So this is the beginning discussion of this chapter. The two questions, the two topics, tyag and sannyas. And it is significant for me how Arjuna addresses Krishna, Rishi Kesha. Can you all say? Rishikesha means that Krishna is the master of the senses. Krishna is totally in control of his own senses. But for us, he's also the controller or the person for whom we should serve with our senses. Rishika Isha, the controller of the senses. The whole program of bhakti means to take our senses and serve this master of the senses, Rishikesha, Krishna, or in this temple, Sri Sri Radha Raman. And then the other name, Keshi Sudana. When Krishna was in Vrindavan, one of the last pastimes he performed in Vrindavan before going to Mathura and Dvaraka, he killed the horse demon, Keshi, whom Kamsa had sent many demons to kill Krishna. Each time, Krishna killed that demon. So, one of the last ones in Vrindavan, before Kamsa was killed, was this Keshi, or horse demon. And the way Krishna killed this horse demon, anyone who has worked with horses, the way to control a horse is by its mouth. you pull on the bridle, and that stops the horse from proceeding. Krishna, being Sarvajna, all-knowing, knew how to control this horse demon. He took his arm and put it in the mouth of this horse demon. And Krishna's arm to Keshi became red hot. And he couldn't get free from the red hot arm of Krishna. And therefore, Keshi died. Let us proceed. Please repeat. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Bhagavan Ubacha Kamyanam Karmanam Nyasam Sanyasam Kavayo Vidu Sarva Karma Phalatyagam Prahustyagam Vichakshana. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, the giving up of activities that are based on material desire is what great learned men call the renounced order of life, sannyas. And the giving up the results of all activities is what the wise call renunciation, tyag. Significant, notice that when Vyasadeva writes this Bhagavad Gita, including it in his Mahabharata, he writes Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, because he wants the reader to have no misunderstanding who is speaking. If he had put Sri Krishna Uvacha, the reader may not take it seriously. But by saying over and over again, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, then the reader takes it seriously. Because Bhagavan is the supreme authority. Every institution, every household, every country, every planet has a supreme authority. If there is no supreme authority, you have chaos, anarchy. In a civilized society, there must be a supreme authority. According to the followers of the Vedas, Bhagavan is the supreme authority. Who is Bhagavan? That is nicely defined by Vyasadeva's father, Parashara Muni, who wrote this very nice definition. Aishvarasya Samagrasya Viryasya Yashasa Sriya Jnana Vairagyos Chaiva Shanam Bhaga Itingana. Parashara Muni said, Bhagavan is that person, very important, person, not in person, the person who has all opulences, unlimitedly. And he gives six specific: wealth, beauty, fame, power, knowledge, renunciation. You can say they come in pairs. One who has these opulences simultaneously, but to an unlimited degree, Bhagavan. Now you may say, Prabhuji, there are many Bhagavans. Yes. But there is one supreme Bhagavan above all the other Bhagavans. He's right here in this temple on the altar in the middle. Sri Sri Radha Raman. Don't you say Sri Sri Radha Raman? Bhagavan. Srimad Bhagavatam is very clear on this point. Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. So Bhagavan is speaking. He defines Arjuna saying, giving up activities that are based on material desire. That means there are activities that are based on spiritual desire. Otherwise, there would be no need of the word material. If there is only one kind of desire, then it would be, but no. We are not voidists. We are not nihilists who tell you, give up all desires. Impossible. As long as you live, you will have desires. Goes along with the soul. And we already studied in chapter 2, the soul always existed, exists now, and like it or not, you're going to exist eternally. Get used to it. You are an eternal individual. Now, you may not like what you see in the mirror, just like, I don't like what I see, but that's not you, that's not me. That's simply a temporary dress. But who I really am, who you really are, that's eternal individual. That was one of the first things Krishna pointed out to Arjuna. Natvedahum jatu nasang natvam neme janadipa nachaiva na bhavishyame sarve vayam ataha param. Never was there a time I, Krishna, did not exist, nor you, Arjuna, nor all these kings. And there were quite a few million people on the battle of Kurukshetra. Neither in the future shall any of us cease to be. So on the basis of that shloka by Krishna, eternal individuality is confirmed. So there is material desire, there is spiritual desire. Material desire has to do with desires in terms of my bodily or mental wants. Me, what's in it for me? Spiritual desires, what can I do to satisfy Krishna? That's a spiritual desire. One desire, as explained in Bhagavad Gita, keeps you bound up. The reason why we take birth after birth is only because of material desires. I want to do this. I want to enjoy. I want to lord it over. I want to be president. I want this. It has to do with my body, my mind. Spiritual desires liberate you, free you. Spiritual desires give you complete liberation. Spiritual desires is, my Lord, how can I serve you? And how can you change material desires to spiritual desires? That is called yukta vairagya. You take your material desire and transform it something for Krishna. We will discuss that when I go through some verses coming up. Hold that thought. While I take a sip of water, please chant the Maha Mantra. So before we go, because there is more in chapter 18 on this topic of renunciation, there are other verses already given by Krishna prior to this 18th chapter where Krishna explained renunciation. I did the homework. I would like you to hear Krishna's explanation of this topic of renunciation, tyag, and sannyas. Nakarmanam anarambhan naishkarmyam purushoshnute Na cha sanyasanad eva siddhing samadhi gacchati. This is in chapter 3. Chapter 3 is all about karma yoga. Not by merely abstaining from work can one achieve freedom from reaction. Nor by renunciation alone can one attain perfection. Then in chapter 5, chapter 5 and chapter 3, very similar. One is called karma yoga, and the other one is called karma yoga, or its actual definition, action in Krishna consciousness. Sannyasa karma yogascha nisreyasya karabhubau tayostu karma sannyasat karma yogo vishishyate. The renunciation in work and work in devotion are both good for liberation. But of the two, work in devotional service is better than renunciation of work. Very next verse in chapter 5. Geyasa nitya sannyasi yo na dveshti na kangshati nidvanvo hi mahabaho sukang bandhat pramuchyate. One who neither hates nor desires the fruits of his or her activities is known to be always renounced. Such a person, free from all dualities, easily overcomes material bondage and is completely liberated, O mighty armed Arjuna. Then, in chapter 6, anashrita karma phalang karyang karma karotiya sa sanyasi cha yogi cha na niragnir na chakriya. One who is unattached to the fruits of work and who works as obligated is in the renounced order of life and is the true mystic, not the one who lights no fire and performs no duty. In the very next verse in chapter 6, yang sanyasam iti prahur yogang tang didi pandava nahya sanyasta sankalpo yogi bhavati kaschana. What is called renunciation, you should know to be the same as yoga, or linking oneself with the Supreme. For one can never become a yogi unless he or she renounces the desire for sense gratification. Then, in the fourth chapter of chapter 6, the fourth verse, Yadahi nendriyarteshu narkamas banusajjate sarava sankalpa sanyasi yoga rudas tadochyate. A person is said to be elevated in yoga when, having renounced all material desires, one neither acts for sense gratification nor engages in fruitive activities. So, in the ninth chapter, Krishna explains what is spiritual desire, or what is spiritual work. Some people think to be spiritual, you should not do any work. You should not do any activity. They think that's what it means to be spiritual. But Krishna has a completely different idea of what is spiritual activity or spiritual work. Very famous verse, perhaps most of you know it. Yat karoshi yadashnasi, yaj johoshi dadasi yat, yat tapasyasi kaunteya, tat kurushva madarpanam. Krishna says, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, whatever austerities you perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering to me. When you offer something to Krishna, now it has become spiritual. You like to think, you like to use your mental abilities, use that to understand the philosophy of Krishna. Use your mental abilities to preach, to convince others, to convince yourself. The greatest thinkers of Krishna are the gopis. Why? They can never forget him, even if they try. Even Srimati Radharani tried to stop thinking of Krishna because it was seemingly painful, but she realized it was useless. She loved him too much. She could not stop thinking of him, even though she wanted to. So you have a brain, you have a mind, you have an intelligence. Use that for understanding Krishna. You like to sing. I think there's somebody right next to me who likes to sing. So he could be anywhere in the world right now making millions of dollars with his lotus-like voice. Instead, where does he prefer to perform? For Krishna. You like to dance? Dance for Krishna. Who doesn't like to eat? Everybody likes to eat. Eat for Krishna. Cook for Krishna. In other words, whatever it is you want to do, do it for Krishna. That is the essence. That is the essence. Then Krishna says, right after that, Shubhashubha phalar evang mokshyase karma bandhanai sanyasa yoga yuktatma vimukto mam upaishyasi. In this way, in other words, what he just explained, right? In this way, you will be freed from the bondage of work. And you'll be free from both auspicious and inauspicious, meaning material. Auspicious and inauspicious refers to the material world. The spiritual world is beyond auspicious and inauspicious. It's beyond that. With your mind fixed on me, in this principle of renunciation, you will be liberated and come to me. So here is the meaning of liberation. When you do everything for Krishna, you're liberated. Very simple. And we learned in chapter 14 that when you're doing everything for Krishna 24/7, 365, 100 plus, Haribo, Krishna just said, you will come to me. Now look at how nice Krishna is. Who wouldn't want to be with Krishna? Only the fool. Anyone who has read the Krishna Leela, anyone who has read in Srimad Bhagavatam or the Brahma Sanhita, the description of the spiritual world, you'd have to be a lunatic not to want to go. The spiritual world is called Vaikuntha. No anxieties. We are hard pressed to find even 5 minutes in a day when we're not in anxiety. You want to be in anxiety? Turn on the television. CNN, Fox News, whatever channel. After 2 minutes, bad news. Pick up the newspaper. It's bad news. This material world is called Kuntalok, the planet of anxiety. This isn't the heavenly planets, folks. This is Earth, Martyaloka. But Krishna's abode, Vaikuntha, no anxiety. Krishna is inviting you. Krishna's on the altar inviting you. Come, come be with me. There's room for you. It's not that it's too crowded in the spiritual world. There's plenty of room for you. Let us continue. In chapter 12, Krishna spoke about renunciation. Shreyahu jnanam abhyasaj jnana jnanam vishishyate jnanat karma falatyagas tyagach chantir anantaram. So this verse appears in the section in chapter 12, the section I call Krishna's option plan. In chapter 12, Krishna outlines 5 or 6 options. So Krishna at this point is saying, if you cannot take 2, number 1, the first option was, think of Krishna without deviation. That's all. Simple. Think of Krishna without deviation. Krishna says, oh, you can't do that? Follow the regulative principles of bhakti yoga. The regulative principles of bhakti yoga are based on hearing and chanting. You're doing that right now. Right now, you are engaged in hearing. You're doing the first item of regulative bhakti yoga. Krishna says, you can't do that? Work for him. When I came here about an hour or so ago, there were some devotees cleaning and getting everything ready. That's called working for Krishna. The members of the board, it's Krishna's board. You are working for Krishna. So if you can't do anything else, work for Krishna. Krishna says, and if you can't do that, give up the results of your work and try to be self-situated. Then he says, okay, if you can't do that, then cultivate knowledge. But better than knowledge is meditation. And better than meditation is the renunciation of the fruits of action. For by such renunciation, one can attain peace of mind. So, if ever you wake up one day and you find that you're not peaceful in your mind, just think, I must be attached to something. Let me give it up. Let me give it to Krishna. Then I will have peace. So, those are all the verses prior to chapter 18, where Krishna has already explained what is renunciation. Now, in a few verses, Krishna explains that you can have renunciation, but it can be in the mode of goodness or in the mode of passion. And there's renunciation in the mode of ignorance. So he's going deeper into the subject. Please chant the Maha Mantra before we go any further. Niyatasya tu sanyasa karamano lopapadyate mohatasya parityagas tamasa parikirtata. Prescribed duties should never be renounced. If one gives up prescribed duties because of illusion, such renunciation is said to be in the mode of ignorance. So, whether you're a man or a woman, you have prescribed duties. If you're a child, children, pay attention. You have prescribed duties. You know what that is? Obey your mother and father. Very simple. Very simple, children. That's your prescribed duty. You're not off the hook. Now all the parents love me. Oh, I love this. But it is completely, absolutely true. The prescribed duty for a child is to obey the parents. Prescribed duty, Krishna explained the night of the Rasa dance, what is the prescribed duty of a woman? Of all places, the night of the Rasa dance, Krishna told the gopis, the prescribed duty of the woman, obey the husband, take care of the children. That's it. Simple. Now everyone is thinking, well, what is the prescribed duty for the man, huh? Yes. The prescribed duty of the man is to protect the wife, protect the children, maintain the family, and be a good devotee. Not that, oh yeah, I do my prescribed duty. I'm like Kamsa, yeah. No. You have to be a devotee. You have to be a gentleman. You have to abide by the rules of the scripture. Those are the prescribed that. Now, I could give a week-long seminar on prescribed duty because it's explained in Bhagavad Gita. There are people, not by birth, but by nature, who are Brahmins, who are Vaishyas by their nature. That's the key. Not by birth, but what is your natural proclivity? What is your nature? So there are Brahmins, Kshatriya, Vaishyas, and people by nature who are Shudras. Okay. So, with that nature, and this is we explained later, because in this chapter 18, Krishna will say, there's no need for anyone to get puffed up. You're a Brahmin, you're a Kshatriya, you're a Vaishya, no need to be puffed up. Everyone can achieve perfection, even the Sudra. How? By worship of the Supreme Lord. That's why Krishna said in chapter 9, Manghi pata viapasritya yepi su papayonaya shtriyo vaisas tasa sudras tepi yanti puram gitim. Anyone and everyone can achieve the supreme perfection. Learn how to love Krishna. Now, there would be an argument. Well, you know, I don't want to love God because he's some old man. Does Krishna look like an old man? No. So there's no excuse. What does the very name Krishna mean? All novel concept. God is all, and we already said he possesses all the opulences, right? As soon as we find out that there is somebody famous in the room, oh, look who's here. It's such and such. If we notice in the room somebody is very wealthy, If a beautiful woman walks in the door immediately, these are opulences. Krishna has all the opulences unlimitedly. Therefore, he is the all-powerful magnet. Everyone is naturally attracted to Krishna. If they're not, then that just means they're in a disease condition, which we call Maya. But when you get out of the diseased condition, when you get into your healthy state, then spontaneously you're attracted to the all-attractive Krishna. Dukam ityeva yat karma kaya klesha vayat yajit satkritva rajasang tyagam naiva tyaga phalang labet. Anyone who gives up prescribed duties as troublesome or out of fear of bodily discomfort is said to have renounced in the mode of passion. Such action never leads to the elevation of renunciation. Karyam ityeva yat karma niyatang kriyatarjana sangam chakva phalang chaiva satyaga satviko mata. O Arjuna, when one performs prescribed duties only because it ought to be done and renounces all material association and all attachment to the fruit, one's renunciation is said to be in the mode of goodness. Nadveshya kushalang karma kushale nanusajyate tyagi sattva samavishto medavi chinna sangshaya. The intelligent renouncer, situated in the mode of goodness, neither hateful of inauspicious work, nor attached to auspicious work, has no doubts about work. Nahi deha brita shakyam tyaktum karmanya shaschata yastu karma phalatyagi satyagi yavidiyate. It is indeed impossible for embodied in being to give up all activities, but one who renounces the fruits of action is called one who has truly renounced. And now we see separation from the all attractive just for a few minutes. Now we cannot see the all-attractive. So this is an important point. Krishna mentioned it in chapter 3. The soul by nature is active. That is its nature. Here Krishna says, it's impossible for an embodied being to give up all activities. Even when you're sleeping, what's still active? Mind. Mind is still active. The soul is active either in the conditioned state or liberated state. Anishtang ishtang mishrangcha vidhang karmana phalang bhavat yat yaginang pretya natu sanyasinang kvachit. For one who is not renounced, the threefold fruits of action, desirable, undesirable, and mixed, accrue after death. But those who are in the renounced order have no such result to suffer or enjoy. So we have to, it was mentioned in chapter 9, we read the verse, that when you do everything for Krishna, that principle of renunciation frees you from both auspicious and inauspicious. If I'm attached to auspicious results, what does that mean? I have to come back and take birth again. But when I am no longer attached to both auspicious and inauspicious, there's no reason for me to be here. So, liberation is the last leg. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Liberation. And Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that there are two kinds of liberation. Temporary. The temporary liberation is the liberation of oneness, merging. That's temporary. Why? We already explained. The soul is always active. This state of merging means you unnaturally cease all activities. But that's not your nature. Your nature is to be active. Eventually that state of inactivity, because I have no information of spiritual activity, I will come back down to earth, starved for some activity. But when you achieve permanent liberation, you have active service in the kingdom of God. That is what we should be fostering now. Active service for God. Find some service that you like to do for God. That is your ticket back to Godhead. Find some service. Our good friend Gadadhar, he's found it. All he has to do for the rest of his life, take care of the deity and sing for Krishna. And before you know it, perhaps we may get to see it. We will see. And while he's chanting, Krishna will take him. Not for another 100 years, right? But you get the idea. How do I want to go? Like this. Speaking about Krishna. And then one day I will say, Krishna is the... And then, not for another 50 years. But that's not in my control, is it? So thank you very much. I would like to sing one short bhajan and then we'll have japa class. Hari Haraye Namaha. Hari Haraye Namaha. Krishna Yadava Namaha. Gopala Govinda Rao Shri Madhusudana. Hari Haraye Namaha. Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Gopala Govinda Ram Shri Madhusudana. Hari Haraye Namaha. Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Gopala Govinda Rama Sri Madhu Sudana. Hari Harae Namaha. Hari Harae Namaha. Hari Harae Namaha. Om Tat Sat. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.